Oh, good morning. It's good to see you all. Hazel just read from Exodus, part of the story of the people of Israel being out in the wilderness. And what do you do? They've experienced God's amazing liberation from what was over 300 years of slavery. And they wanted to worship God. But how? So God calls Moses and they begin to lay plans for this portable temple. They called it a tabernacle. And then they're going to make it, as Hazel said, it's got to be the best of the best. So they're going to make it with all good things, and they're called to give. And they're called to give willingly. But I guess in any group of people, when we're called to give, we all have different responses. And even if it was then or now, the stories of our responses could be different. You might respond differently depending on what it is. You may think, that's not for me or whatever, but we all will have different stories. So all I'm going to do now is just tell you four stories of typical people and typical responses. But maybe as you're hearing the story, you kind of think, which story do I like best? Because we do that with stories, don't we? Or which story makes me uncomfortable? Or which story do I identify with most? Which story is for you? Being a widow was hard. Her husband died so many years ago, she could hardly remember. She'd had no children and spent years struggling to make ends meet. But she managed. A bit of sewing here, swapping her homegrown cucumbers for garlic there. And now, she's in the crowd of Hebrews on this amazing journey out in the desert, set free from slavery by this Yahweh God of their ancestors. Set free through great miracles of power and judgment over Egypt for their oppression and cruelty. And there she was with the rest of them, hobbling along on a walking stick, a smile on her face, and glad to be part of the happy throng. Then Moses, their leader, called for willing giving. They were going to make a beautiful tented temple to worship this wonderful Savior God, Yahweh. People could, if they wished, bring gold, silver, materials to help make this tabernacle the best it could possibly be, even out there in the desert. But she was a widow. She had nothing. That wasn't strictly true. She had just one small gold item. She kept it hidden in a piece of material tucked into a pocket just under her outer robe. It was a beautiful gold nose ring, a wedding gift. It was the only thing she had left beyond her memories to remind her of her husband's love. Could she give it up? It was hardly a question. She'd lived through the oppression of Egypt, knew the history of over 300 years of slavery, and now they were free, gloriously free to follow God and worship Him. There was no hesitation in her heart. She reached into her pocket, took out the ring, and limped slowly through the camp with a smile on her face, and placed the ring in the collecting trays where the craftsmen stood to receive them. She smiled then, but smiled with an even greater thankfulness when she saw the golden altar they made to receive a sacrifice for the forgiveness of her sins when they dedicated the temple tabernacle to God. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21 and verse 4, all these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider drowned it in the sea. The Lord, he is my strength and song, my salvation and my God. The Lord, he is my strength and song, my salvation and my God. My praise will go to him. You know how it is when a song gets stuck in your brain? You hear it all the time, even when you're not thinking about it, even when you can't sing it very well. Buy the CD. Benjamin's heart was full of joy because he was getting married. When he left Egypt, one of the Egyptian neighbors, a goldsmith, had pushed a handful of gold into his hands and shooed him away. He was sure it was enough to pay Rebecca's father so he could marry Rebecca. He planned to approach him as sunset and as the campfires were lit that night. Then Benjamin heard that Moses was asking people to give willingly, to help Bezalel and all the other craftsmen craft a portable temple made with all the finery and the skill they could muster. And the song echoed into his head again. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Benjamin loved Rebecca. He wanted to marry her dearly. But he had another love. God Yahweh. The day the Hebrew people were set completely free from Egypt, the day Pharaoh's army had drowned in the sea, that day his family finally felt the release of the pain of years of grief. His mother, a broken woman, had watched as the Egyptian soldiers had drowned her newborn baby boy. Benjamin was the second born, but born to a deeply haunted mother whose mind had never been right since that fateful day. And that day the army drowned. Well, it was a day of freedom, a day of joy, a day of rejoicing. He joined in the dancing, led the line of Hebrew men as they followed Moses' sister Miriam in a merry celebration of their salvation. But it was that line, the Lord, he is my strength and song, my salvation and my God. That line had taken a hold of his soul. And he'd experienced something of the passion of the love of the God that had set them free that day. And from then on, he loved this God, his Yahweh God. And he knew that deep, deep down, whilst he loved his bride to be, he loved God more. Then Moses made the call to willingly give. He knew right there, right then, that he would give up all the bride price that he held in his hand to God. He experienced so much love, so much liberty and healing from him, that for Benjamin to give as willingly as he could was a glad choice. And he would trust God for the bride price. He strode through the camp to where Bezalel's men held the collecting trays, a smile on his face and a familiar song in his heart. I will sing. Oh, you know it, don't you? As Benjamin got near the place where the collecting trays were, some commotion began. The men are on strike, people shouted. They've downed tools. They've stopped work on the tabernacle. What in the wilderness was going on? Then Moses stood up and gave an order. Stop giving! Stop giving! You've all given too much, and the men can't cope with the materials. Don't give any more. Keep it. Enjoy it for yourselves. Everyone looked round to see a young man rolling around in the dust of the desert, holding his ribs in uncontrolled, joyous laughter. He couldn't stop himself. He just laughed and laughed. And as joy is always infectious, soon everyone was laughing too. Only he knew why. Benjamin was getting married to Rebecca. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. He did well for himself when he left Egypt. Well, why shouldn't he? Those Egyptians were so desperate to see the back of the Hebrews, they gave them gold just to go. It was like the spoils of war. A broken, bereaved people, but blaming the Hebrews for their misfortunes and wanting to get rid of them. He'd taken all he could, and then made even more as he travelled into the Sinai Desert, buying, selling, lending, trading, only in gold and silver. Well, when this call came from Moses for everyone who was willing to give gold, silver, materials for the creation of this portable temple, people began to flock to Moses and that Bezalel guy with all their wealth. It was very tempting for him to do the same. But he'd managed to find a good hole in the ground behind some rocks about 500 yards from the camp. He'd hidden his wealth in there, keeping it for a rainy day. But this wasn't a rainy day. This was the desert. Rainy days were for the promised land, the land of new hope, of new opportunities for new wealth. No, he thought, let the others give. Let them build their tabernacle. I'll keep my gold to myself, thank you. That very night, he died. The following day, the camp moved on, and his gold was left in a hole in the ground behind some rock. In the desert. You might find it if you go there looking. Luke 12, verse 20. But God said to him, "You fool, this night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself?" She had nothing. She worked as a slave, never paid, only scraped by to live. She was busy helping others pack when they left Egypt, too busy to grab any of the pickings the Egyptians seemed to be handing out. A tent, a stool, and her special frame. She had nothing else. And then Moses gave the call to give willingly. Well, she heard the call, but there was nothing she could do, nothing she could give. Her heart sank. People flocked by with blue and purple and scarlet yarn, fine linen, red-dyed ram skins, hides of sea cows, silver, bronze, acacia wood, goat hair for spinning and weaving, onyx stones, gold and other gems, spices and olive oil. She had nothing. Nothing to give. Or did she? An idea lit a new fire of hope in her heart. She had nothing to give, but she had who she was. She scurried to the back of a tent and brought out her frame. Head held high, she marched through the camp with all the others carrying their gold and silver and the rest. When her turn came at the front of the queue, she simply picked up her frame and handed it over to Bezalel. "You'll need this, and you'll need me. This weaving frame is who I am. I'm a master weaver, and I am Yahweh's servant. Bezalel beamed and beckoned. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God created in advance for us to do." So which story? Which story in the crowd might you tell of yourself? I was going to pray in a moment or two, but would you give your all? Would you give it all? Will you give generously? Will you give yourself? Let's pray. Just in the quietness to pray and ask God, above all, ask him to make you a cheerful giver. He has given so much to every single one of us. How can we give ourselves, who we are, what we have, all that we have? How can we give ourselves back to him? Each one of us should give what we've decided in our hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. Maybe the whole idea of giving is new for you. You've never thought, oh, that's part of this Christian life that they talk about at Fullwood. We have a brochure that we use here. It's usually in the racks, but I've put them out on the welcome desk. And in it, it tells you about why we might give. It tells you about how you might give or what you might give. And so just take it away, and if that's for you, then take a copy and take it away and read it and pray about it. But above all, hear what God's saying for you, to you this morning. God bless you. Let's worship.